Hey there, I'm Beth Connors, a midwife and mom of two, but also your birth bestie. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into everything you need to feel confident, prepared, and in control, from baby bump to delivery room, from practical tips to personal stories. We'll cover it all so you know exactly what to expect every step of the way. Let's get into it. Welcome back to episode 20 of Your Birth Bestie podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. I am so excited to share my first guest on this podcast. Her name is Bailey, and she is the Resource Broker Program Manager at Moms Mental Health Initiative, which is a nonprofit organization in southeastern Wisconsin. Bailey helps connect pregnant and postpartum individuals to resources, peer support, and mental health providers to help them navigate perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And I wanted to briefly share part of my own perspective being a new mom almost 4 years ago. I had struggled with anxiety in the past, but was really, really good at seeming okay. I was able to manage things through my first pregnancy, despite being in graduate school as a nursing student full-time, and my husband was in graduate school also. And things were literally changing every few months with new semesters, and it was a really challenging time. But I never really thought about the mental toll of pregnancy and preparing for birth and preparing for postpartum even. For me, the anxiety that I felt in pregnancy was around the markers of each week and when things were, you know, safe. So the first marker was 12 weeks when that miscarriage statistic drops. I thought I was going to feel better after then. And then I got to 20 weeks and I was like, if I can just get, you know, good results on this anatomy scan, make sure my baby's okay, then I will feel better. And then that passed, and then 25 weeks is considered viable. And then at 37 weeks, you're considered full term. And I just kept going to that next thing without having appreciated how far that I've come and, you know, have any changes in my anxiety at that point. There was always something ahead, and I was basically wishing it all away, needing to get to that next quote unquote safe milestone. I never found that safe feeling even after my daughter was born. There was just a whole new list of worries. I was really just overwhelmed by the uncertainty because, as someone who likes to plan, pregnancy and birth felt completely out of my control. Looking back, I didn't think it was affecting me as much as it actually was, and I didn't have the resources to reach out or to even know how to connect with anyone who had maybe been feeling this way too. I pretty much just suppressed these feelings and hoped for the best, thinking that this is just what comes with having a baby. But preparation really is just so important, especially when you're having a new baby. So please don't think that you have to do any of this alone. And that's also why I created my self-paced online birth course, Hands Off Hospital Birth, to give moms all of the information to feel informed and in control, know their options, release fears, communicate their wishes, and feel supported through their entire journey. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed with nowhere to turn to, so please know that I'm here for you, and so are amazing programs like Mom's Mental Health Initiative. In this episode, we'll talk about accessing support for perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, how to know when to reach out for help, tips to prepare for mental health even before your baby is here, and so much more. So let's start out with an introduction to Mom's Mental Health Initiative.
Moms Mental Health Initiative is a grassroots nonprofit organization. It was founded in 2016 by two moms who were in the sort of North Shore area of Milwaukee who navigated really challenging postpartum depression, anxiety. These are conditions that we call perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, which we'll get into that in a minute. But they really had a really difficult time after the births of their children and realized that this in the mental health space, there's just not a lot out there. There's not a lot of resources or knowledge. OBGYNs and other providers were just really not equipped to handle these type of behavioral health cases. So they started a nonprofit in 2016. And since then we've really grown and have a lot of different ways that we support this population. My name is Bailey. I'm the resource broker program manager. Resource brokering is one of our sort of three pillars of our work. And what resource brokering is kind of the client facing participant facing part of our organization. So somebody is navigating a difficult mental health situation, they're pregnant or postpartum, and they reach out to our organization. Likely they'll be talking with me, and I will help them with different resources and support. So before we get further, we should probably define what perinatal mood and anxiety disorders are. We kind of throw around this term PMAD, but not everybody knows what that means. For most people, when they think about pregnancy and postpartum, they're really thinking about postpartum depression. You know, everybody kind of knows what baby blues is, what postpartum depression is, but people don't realize that this is really that there's an umbrella term for all of these different conditions that you can fit that you can that can become apparent when you're pregnant or postpartum. So these are things like postpartum or pregnancy anxiety, OCD, and in some cases psychosis. And there are kind of other nuances or things that can kind of interact with those different conditions, but that's what we're talking about when we talk about perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. It's really a spectrum of mental health conditions that are really become onset or really exacerbated by pregnancy and the postpartum period, which professionals often define that as up to 12 months postpartum. But we know that really postpartum can last a long time. There's some research that
Absolutely.
says it lasts up to 7 years. So yeah, so it can really last a long time. So that is really our that's kind of the area of our focus is that perinatal mood and anxiety disorders.
And I love that you defined really like the broad spectrum of it because even as a provider myself, we aren't specialized in these mental health conditions that happen in pregnancy through postpartum and beyond. You know, we just touch the surface, but there's just so much more. So I am so happy that you're here talking about this and that, you know, I was introduced being in Milwaukee myself, knowing that you serve the area locally and all of the moms around here, but like also, you know, the wider area as well. You said all over. So can you talk a little bit about like the services that you offer and
Sure. So we are a virtual organization. So what that means is that we are a small staff, and all of the staff members who are part of MMHI are all, we all have come with our own lived experience of navigating perinatal mood and anxiety disorders and definitely on that spectrum. And so as a virtual organization, we're able to provide our first pillar, which is information sharing, to really anybody anywhere in the world. So if you go to our website, there's a ton of information. We pull in from Postpartum Support International, like the local chapter for Wisconsin's Postpartum Support International, just all kinds of different resources that we try to make navigable on our website. And then also through our social media. So we have a pretty robust social media presence. And so because of that, we get contacted by people, you know, all over, but really, what we do then is, as far as our direct service, is that resource brokering, which is sharing, connecting moms and families or birthing persons who are navigating a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder to the right evidence-based treatment and support system for them. So we call ourselves a bridge, not the destination. And what that means is that we are not the clinic, we're not the clinicians, we're not therapists, we don't serve in that capacity, and we don't interact as at that level with people who contact our organization. We're really here as a peer support entity, and we just get people to the right place. So we keep lists of vetted therapists, prescribers, and other providers so that when someone reaches out and says, "Hey, I had my baby 2 weeks ago, something's not right. I'm not sure what I need." We know the right questions to ask that are not invasive or intrusive, but just get us the information that we need so we can get them to the therapist or prescriber or the support system that they need and to do it quickly. We know that a really important aspect of this is that somebody gets seen, you know, as soon as possible. So we really take that seriously and make sure that we respond to our moms quickly and get them connected to the right services and support.
Absolutely. That is so important, the timeliness and just knowing that somebody's out there that kind of fill the pieces for you. Like you might not know what you need, but you know that somebody's out there that is going to advocate for you and that's going to reach out in a way that's going to help you. So if somebody were to, you know, be struggling, whether they just found out they're pregnant or they're in that postpartum period, what are the steps after they find you? Like, what does that connection, I guess, look like?
Yes, that's a great question. So I can tell you my story, which is how and it's really amazing that I now get to work for this organization. But I moved to Milwaukee and my son was already a year and a half. So I was pretty well out of the, you know, quote unquote, postpartum range. I had a lot of things that had happened when I was pregnant. And then since then, I was having a hard time. And I threw a Google search, I posted on Facebook and said, does anybody know of a good therapist? Mm-hmm. And somebody copped on and said, you should connect with Mom's Mental Health Initiative. I sent an email to this info email, and I come from a social service background, so I know how a lot of organizations run. You kind of get generic reply or maybe no reply, or it right. comes days and days later. And anybody who struggles with depression and anxiety knows that making that first outreach is really hard. Mm-hmm. And so I was blown away when I got a personalized response from somebody who said, you know, tell me just a little bit about what's going on and what's your insurance. And let's see who we work with, who might be a good fit. And lo and behold, I was able to get connected to an amazing therapist who has really helped me process a lot of the things that have happened in my life. And so really what you can expect is that somebody will, if you email us through our info email, that's the way we generally ask for people to contact our organization. Though if you DM us on Instagram or Facebook, we will respond that way too. You can expect a response between 24 and 48 hours. It's very rare that anybody sits in our inbox longer than that. And you'll get a warm personal response that says, hey, thank you for reaching out. Like, how can we help support you? Here are some things that we can offer. And we immediately get you connected with our third pillar, which is peer support. We have a closed online private Facebook group that is meant for moms and birthing people who are kind of in the middle of navigating this perinatal mood and anxiety disorder and just need support. They need that kind of soft touch, judgment-free zone where you can vent about what's going on and nobody's going to try to quote unquote treat you or, try to solve your problem for you, just give you solidarity. So we connect you with that immediately. If that's something that would be supportive for you. And then what we do is kind of ask some questions about, you know, do you have a history of mental health conditions that you're already being treated for? You know, that tells us if somebody is already working with a team of mental health professionals or not, and if they're working with the right team, because we know that when you're pregnant and when you're postpartum, things are very different. You get told a lot of information about, you know, if you have a prescriber tell you that, for example, oh, you can't take your SSRI while you're pregnant. Well, we know that that's not true. Mm-hmm. And we know that that actually going off of your medication while you're pregnant can really lead to you have a higher incident of having more complications. Although everybody makes that decision for themselves and it's totally understandable, you know, whichever way. We just want to make sure that people have all the information from the evidence-based resources to make that informed decision and not get scared by somebody telling them something, or they tried to get connected to a service and it didn't happen. The funny thing is, I told my midwife when I was 6 weeks postpartum that I wasn't really feeling well. And she gave me a list of therapists and sent me on my way. Mm-hmm. And it took me a year and a half to finally outreach to Mom's Mental Health Initiative and actually find somebody. Nobody took my insurance. Nobody had openings. Nobody was following up with me. And that's what we do. After we provide those, you know, a couple of options, we check back in with you in a week and say, hey, how's it going? Were you able to make connection to any of these therapists? Oh, nobody has an opening. I'm so sorry to hear that. Let me contact that provider on your behalf and do a little bit of that warm handoff, or let me figure out, if there's somebody else who can get you seen soon. So we never leave anybody with nothing. We always make sure that we're kind of closing the loop and checking back in with those who contact us.
Yeah. The last thing you said, like, really just gave me chills, because I was just like the piece of like, you're not alone and you're not just going to be given like a list of resources and being like, go figure it out yourself. Cause that's what I've seen in the past. And I do have experience also in like the mental health space working as an office manager. So before birth work and before nursing school and all that stuff. And I would see, you know, the wait lists of 100 people, 200 people, not mm-hmm. necessarily for pregnancy related things, but just mental health in general. And it was really hard, people calling in saying, you know, when's the next appointment? And I'd be like, well, I can put you on our wait list, you know, being very pleasant and trying to refer if I could, but there is limitations with insurance and with availability and different specialties and things. So it's just so challenging.
There is such limitations. And what I've really learned with this organization is that this is such a niche. Like there are a lot of, you know, there are, I will never say a lot because we kind of are in like a mental health provider crisis, but there are providers out there who specialize in this type of, in this particular, you know, in the perinatal space, but they're not always connected with the patients or the participants, right? Like the OBGYNs and the other mental health professionals that may interact, or like even think about people who are accessing like WIC benefits, like people who are pregnant and postpartum are not necessarily connected with that mental health aspect. And I think that's something that we really want to talk about, is like how to know and how to prepare yourself and make sure that it's kind of part of your birth plan. It's part of your pregnancy plan. And we just know that these systems are so siloed. And yes, resources are really limited. Like most large behavioral health, you know, social workers or anybody in that space, they don't have the capacity to follow up with every person who's contacted them. Or even like I gave birth at a hospital with a wonderful midwife group, but nobody there was going to call me again after my 6-week appointment and be like, oh, I gave you that list of therapists. Did you find somebody? Like they just don't have that capacity. And that's not their expertise or their specialty. So we really work to educate providers and help them do more screening, help them know that there are resources and support. And just like you say, every single person who contacts us or follows us on social media are going to hear the same thing, which is you're not alone. This is not your fault that you're feeling this way. It's common, but it's not normal. And the other thing that's really important is it is treatable. This is not something that you have to suffer with. It is treatable, just like any other condition, just like you would treat your diabetes, just like you would treat anything else. This is something that we can, that there is help for. So don't feel like you have to just suffer in silence or in isolation.
Right. It's so common, but you just don't hear about it enough. So that when you do go to your 6-week appointment and they give you that screening, like for postpartum depression, it's kind of just like, is this really postpartum depression? Or am I just tired? Am I just overwhelmed? Like, of course, it's like, you don't know what you're feeling, but you're just feeling everything. And it's okay to still like, just explore that and see like, okay, is this, am I on the path to having postpartum depression or anxiety or another condition? Or is this really, you know, quote unquote normal? And like, it's just going to, you know, kind of taper off as my hormones fluctuate. Cause there's so much more than just the surface level, like a little bit of anxiety or like overwhelm. Like it is like hormonal and genetic. Like there's so many other components that like you can't control.
Yes. There are so many things. And so we do like to talk about risk factors. You can call them. Somebody can have every risk factor and develop no symptoms of anxiety, depression, OCD. Somebody can have zero risk factors or zero history and develop it during their pregnancy or postpartum. You know, so that's the tricky part about it. But what's nice to know is that there is, again, it is treatable and you can prepare yourself early on and prepare your support network to kind of know what to look for. And think about it just like anything else, you know, when you educate somebody who just had a baby, like around what's normal bleeding and what's not.
Right.
You know, we can kind of arm ourselves with some of this knowledge, and it doesn't have to all be about us. And it doesn't have to feel like you're carrying the whole weight of everything on yourself. Like educate your support network about that. And when it comes to statistics, what we do know is that at least, again, this is like reported and the reported statistic, which we know statistics around mental health and behavioral health are always typically underreported, but that 1 in 5 women or birthing people will experience a clinical perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. So whether that's depression, anxiety, OCD, psychosis, or any of those others. And of those 1 in 5, 75% will go without treatment.
Wow.
So only about 25% of women who are experiencing this, who are diagnosed, will actually receive treatment in the form of therapy or medication or a combination. So it is really, really common, but it's not something that is at this point still normalized with all kind of providers or people who interact with this population.
Yeah. And I think when you said too about like educating, it's like, you know, it's part of your birth plan, part of your pregnancy prep. Like that is so important that we do think about it that way. Because when I was working in the hospital, I don't currently work in the hospital, but when I would be like giving that discharge planning information and education, I would always make sure the dad was in the room or the grandma or whatever, saying, you know, this is things to look for. And she might say she's okay, but like, you know, you might have like a feeling otherwise or something's different. Like she might not be able to tell something's off because she's just so exhausted, but like there are warning signs and there are resources out there to like give not only the moms, but give the support people too.
Absolutely.
You need a, yeah, you need a whole team of people when you have a baby.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. And like, I was talking to my colleague about this podcast earlier today. And I was like, you know, it reminds me of like when you pack your hospital bag and you're like, so worried about, especially if it's your first baby, you're so worried about forgetting something from your hospital bag, right?
Right.
When like literally you and I know that like you could walk into a hospital with nothing, have a baby and you'll be fine.
Yeah. 3.5 years ago, I didn't know that. I grabbed everything.
Clothed. Like they're going to make sure that you have what you need,
right.
But we're still like, so, you know, concerned about that. Or we spend a lot of time like, what is the playlist we want? What is the environment that we want to create? And those are all super important. And those can really help you have like the labor and delivery that you want. But once you go home, and it's just you and this little baby, you know, there's like just a lot of different things that can happen. And like you're saying, like you have really, especially if you've never done it before, you just don't really know what you will be able to just kind of muddle through and what, and when you really need to tag in those other resources. So some really important things to take away when preparing your sort of your mental health or your perinatal mood and anxiety disorder birth bag, whatever you want to call it.
I like that.
But when you're preparing yourself, one important thing is to make sure that, and this is probably important for medical stuff too, and I had never thought about this and just kind of heard it recently, but designate somebody, whether that's your spouse, your you know, somebody who's a trusted person that can communicate with your providers on your behalf. So whatever paperwork needs to be signed or whatever needs to be in place that says, you know what, my husband can contact my therapist or my midwife or my other, my XYZ provider and let them know that I'm not doing well and I need some help. So, and they are allowed to respond to that. So there are ways that you can do that with your providers. That's a really important thing to do. Again, like the really severe, And it's kind of like, it's like anything with labor and delivery. Like there are really horrible ways that things can go wrong. It's very rare. And the more likely thing is that everything will go pretty well. There may be some things that go, that don't exactly go according to plan.
Right. Of course.
with labor and delivery and all of that. And I'm not saying that you necessarily have to prepare for the worst, but I do think that you should just be aware that someone could have to intervene, you know, on your behalf in that way. Another really important thing is just to have some education about what these conditions are. You know, it's not just baby blues. Like it is very normal to have that big slump after you deliver. Like your hormones are absolutely crazy. But when you combine that with lack of sleep and then some of those other risk factors, like not having a good support system, having financial difficulties, having a history of mental health stuff, that can just really kind of lead to some really tough symptoms. And again, like you don't just have to struggle with them and hope that they go away. A lot of these conditions actually don't have an onset until you're like 6 or 8 months postpartum sometimes.
Yeah.
So just,
and people don't think of that, right? Like,
no, I had no idea.
Yeah.
No, I had no idea. And really for me, it's only in retrospect that I really see how not well I was and I had been. I am like a very high functioning person and felt like because everybody had what they needed, like it didn't matter that I was suffering on the inside.
Yeah.
And so going into this pregnancy, it's a lot different. Like I have a lot more of an awareness and just, you know, have really tagged in my support systems to say like, this is harder for me this time around. I felt amazing when I was pregnant with my son. I don't feel amazing this time.
Yeah. And recognizing that and knowing when to
exactly
seek help or just like vent yourself. You know, and just like when you need to talk about something instead of just bottling it up, because I had my first baby right before the COVID lockdown, and I was in nursing school at the time, and it was a very traumatic delivery. But I was released at, 6 weeks, everything's perfect. But, my pubis symphysis was separated because she was a ginormous baby. I couldn't really walk. I had to go back to nursing school, 11 days later. So I was I was just like an emotional wreck, but I was just like, I was just, trying to make every day, what it was going to be, just like surviving. And I was never, ever once, I reached out many times to my OB office, and not once did they say, like, are you feeling okay? Like, can we give you resources to go see somebody? Or, it was never once. And I was very open and talked about my personal life, and that I was in school, and that my husband was in school, and all of these, things that would put me at a higher risk of, developing something. And I'm sure I had postpartum anxiety, a little bit of postpartum depression, but I was never treated for it. I never, never just kind of suffered by myself. One of the first of my friends to have a baby. So I was like, this is just what motherhood is. Like, I'm just going to accept it. And it was, it was very challenging. So knowing that resources like this are around, and that people are going to actually listen to you and respond to you, and like, make sure, check in on you. Like, that's all I would love to have. Right. Like, that sounds amazing.
Yes. Like, that's why we really harp with our providers on the importance of screening. Mm-hmm. So there are so many ways to screen, and a lot of people don't even, and this is the other thing, and to screen well. Yeah. Like, I've been given, a postpartum depression inventory as a one piece of paper and a stack of 20 that I'm just like sitting in a waiting room filling out.
Yeah.
And not really knowing what I'm filling out, or like what they're doing with that information.
Right.
And so in that situation, like, I guess it's better than nothing, but it's really not having that conversation. And so we really want to empower people to not be afraid to ask questions and have that conversation. I think providers get scared. Like, if we ask, like, what are we going to do? What if she says she's suicidal? Like, we don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. We have protocols in place. We have ways that we can manage this and mitigate this, and that it's always better to ask. It's always better, especially with perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. Like, it's so important that somebody get help sooner rather than later. It can just complicate things down the line and can just really exacerbate, additional pregnancies after that. Like, there are some people who don't feel like they can do it again. Yeah. And, we never want, and I totally respect that decision and understand that, it can just really kind of put this, we're sold this like vision of what our postpartum life is going to look like and what motherhood is. And then when we're in the trenches, and like, literally it feels like you're saying survival mode, like you feel like you're in the trenches, and then you're just like, oh, like, I guess this just has to be horrible.
Right. You just accept your fate.
This is just how it has to be.
Right.
But the problem is sometimes it like doesn't end, it's great. Sometimes you kind of get out of it and it takes a little while and you feel like you're coming out of a haze and you're like, oh, okay. Like, now I can kind of hit my stride. But, sometimes that haze just doesn't lift, and that's what we're really here for.
And then you like kind of normalize it as your new normal. And then it's just,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very tricky. And then other people around you, like, are like, okay, well, she's no longer six weeks. So like, it's just not that support. Cause I mean, there is some support, I feel like, usually, that moms have, right after baby's born, that first week or two. And then after that, it kind of just falls off. But then that's when your hormones are also doing all the shifting. And that's when, like, the thick of it, I feel like baby starts to wake up. They're no longer like that tiny little newborn that's sleeping all the time, and different things come up, whether, it's breastfeeding journeys, and it just, all sorts of things can happen, and that support is kind of gone because they just wanted to see the baby, right after delivery. So I feel like,
So true. It is so true. And I think we talked to a lot of moms who feel like that, right? Like, I never thought that I would be so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think some of that is kind of just the nature of our society and not all of that, and it's not to apologize it and say that there's something wrong with you, for feeling that way. I think that our society does a pretty poor, we do a very poor job of supporting the physical aspects of labor, delivery, and postpartum. Like, you're saying you had to go back 11 days after you gave birth to work, to school.
Yes, to school.
And to just expect that somebody can do that without even physically healing. Like, we're not even talking about the emotional aspects. And the fact that you had a traumatic delivery, like, you should have been, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
Like, for needing that additional support. Like, people need to process that your providers absolutely did you wrong by not screening you, or just even just all you need to do is ask, like, how are you adjusting to motherhood? Or I know that your delivery was really hard. Will a provider admit that? I don't know. maybe that's a different topic, but in general, like, those are all things that you can, again, like, there is help out there.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was like the 2 week or 3 week phone call, like you get by your nurses or something. And I don't really remember the call, but I remember getting it. But I know that I was like in the thick of feeling terrible and I was not very nice on the phone. So right. I was like, this is awful. I'm in so much pain. Like, when can I come see somebody? And they're like, no, you know, do you have these symptoms? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, but like, I know something's not right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we'll just, we don't think it's something, you know, that needs to be seen right away. We'll get you at your 6 week or whatever. And then I had a call a couple times later being like, I need to be seen. And I was like, I'm gonna go to the emergency room if I'm not seen. But like, just like, have to advocate for myself, like, that was just really, really crazy. And that's when lockdown happened, and I didn't even get treatment until I was 6 months postpartum, and I was already starting to feel better, but it was a long 6 months. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh. And the pandemic just made everything so crazy and complicated. But like, that's why I think having somebody else in your court. So having, like, establishing with the therapist, like, even if you're not actively symptomatic, you know, not everybody has to do this, but just have an idea in mind about like what your benefits are for therapy,
right?
Something
that's a
like
good
that,
point.
Because that's really, really tough. That's really hard to navigate when you're, I mean, when I was 6 weeks postpartum, I was obsessed with the amount of milk that my baby was transferring. I literally did not even, I don't even know if I brushed my hair. Like, I was so anxious and so hyper fixated on what was going on with him. He was born 4 weeks early, so he was really little. And that was like a huge trigger for me. And also, like, he was healthy, thank God. But not having that 4 weeks, that extra 4 weeks, like, I really, really mourned that. Like, that is something that, again, thank God he was healthy and in my delivery, you know, went pretty smoothly, but not having that last month to like enjoy him being in safe,
right,
inside me, where I knew that he was getting fat and getting happy, you know, I had a really, really hard time with that, but I didn't realize that was why I was, every time I told him when he was born, I was like bawling, but I couldn't really put my finger on why, because he was here and he was happy and healthy. And he was just really small. So I had a really hard time like obsessing about his feeding and about all of that, and just never letting anyone wanting to help me, but besides lactation consultant after lactation consultant. And nobody in the lactation consultants didn't really ask me how I was feeling either. Like, if anything, the ones that I saw, and of course now I know better how to vet them, but kind of made me feel like it was my fault, or like I wasn't trying hard enough.
Yeah, that was my experience as well with everyone that I saw. It was like, at every checkpoint, we need somebody to be like, are you okay? How can we support you?
Oh my God.
Every single step of the way.
That's snaps for that. That's how we feel.
Yeah.
Like, we feel like you're at Moms Mental Health Initiative. We think every provider anybody who's interacting with this population, it's a super vulnerable and sensitive time.
Yeah.
So like, hey, instead of telling moms like, oh, your baby only transferred 30 mLs, like, you might need to do this, you might need to do that, like, have you considered all of these options? Like, wow, that must be really hard. Like, how are you feeling about this? How are you adjusting? How have you been sleeping? You know, what does your support system look like? And so just having a multitude of places that you can get support. And it's also about after you have your baby, like, not feeling like everything is on you. So part of your kind of mental health plan can be those things, like, make sure that you have somebody to walk your dog.
Yeah.
Like, I know for me, I felt so guilty because my dogs would like stare at me and then stare at this little baby. And they were like,
what happened?
We used to do fun things. And
I
like
know.
now, like, what are you? Who are you? If not to like, you're doing the bare minimum. So having like this time going around, like, I'm going to make sure that we have somebody to come and walk our dogs every day. And it doesn't have to be me or my husband when we want to be focusing on our toddler and our newborn.
Yeah. That's really good advice.
Think
of other ways.
Just other things to take things off of your plate, and just be okay if it's not done exactly the way. Like, when it comes to meals, just whatever somebody can do, just accept the help. We had our baby during COVID, and I was so worried about accepting help and really just isolated myself. And that, and like in retrospect, that was a huge mistake. And I understand there's a lot of other reasons why, like we were so scared of him getting sick and all of that. But I definitely could have been like, Mom, make me some more chili. Like, and she would have been happy to come and drive it down to me and just things like that. And then it's, and then, and if you're, and if you're a friend of somebody who's about to have a baby, like to your point, when the baby starts waking up and things start getting kind of real around like 4 or 5 months, and they're not sleeping through the night, and everything that you thought you knew about your baby is now completely different. That's a really good time to check in on our friends and be like, dude, how are you? Like, I've heard, I don't have, even if you don't have a kid, like, I know that this can be really crazy. Like, do you want, I'm going to come bring you, don't ask. Just
Don't
say,
ask.
I'm going to come bring you breakfast. Do you want McDonald's or do you want Chick-fil-A? You know what I mean? Like, just know that it doesn't really end just because you're out of that initial, like, just because you stopped bleeding. Like, everybody thinks like that's like, okay, you're good now. You can exercise, you can have sex, you're not bleeding. You must be like you're out of the thick of it. Like, oh no. That's when life starts getting real again. You start going back to work. All the other responsibilities are there. So just check in with your birthing friends and just know that like around 4 or 5 months, sometimes we're not okay.
I couldn't have said it better. That's perfect. I have a couple of friends that are in the thick of it right now, and I made sure to reach out to them. I put it in my calendar and I'm like, okay, what can I do for you this week?
That is
how can I
awesome.
reach out? It's an easy
And
way to check in
what
with
do we do except for want to be like and want to appear to everybody that we're all good? And
I know, like, everyone
there's
looks great.
nothing wrong with that. Like, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. We that's how we want to look. We don't want to we don't want to bother people and be like, oh, you know, I'm just really anxious. Like, you know, I get that. I get that, but I just feel like if we all just took this mental health general, but especially around pregnancy and postpartum, like if we just made it normalized and standard that we check in about it, and then it's okay to not be okay. And that it's not going to be like this forever.
That's perfect. Well, I really appreciate your time. I think this is a really great place for us to stop. I mean, unless you have any remarks to end with.
Again, like if you are in the if you're pregnant and I will just say that like during my first trimester, I didn't feel nauseous. I felt like and thank goodness I'm kind of coming out of it, but like I felt like there was a giant doom cloud over me everywhere that I went. I just felt so anxious and sick. And that's actually can be kind of hormonal too. Like that is a big part of that influx. So, but it's okay to just get the information and just know what your options are and know like at what point you need to do something about it. Whatever you decide is okay. We just want everyone to know that they're not alone. The resources and support are out there. And just reach out to us, get connected with us on social media. You will find messaging on there that will really resonate with you. And if you're supporting somebody who's about to have a baby, like just make sure, just check in with them, ask them how they're feeling. If you're a provider, it is part of your responsibility to make sure that their mental health is okay. And you don't have to treat them, but you do have to have a responsibility to make sure that that's part of their that it is part of their healthcare plan. So again, like we don't need to belabor all of that, but just know there is help out there. And you know, we're really here for you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Your Birth Bestie podcast. If you're interested in connecting with Mom's Mental Health Initiative, you can find them on Instagram at Mom's Mental Health MKE or directly on their website at momsmentalhealthmke.org. Mental health support should be a priority every step of the way in the healthcare system, especially in perinatal health. And I hope you enjoyed this episode and it's inspired you to reach out if that would be helpful or plan ahead for your upcoming postpartum journey. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you back here next week. Bye, everyone.